Well, Happy New Year.
2017 has just started.
But I have a question. I wonder, why is it that we only tell people have a Happy New Year? I don't know about you, but you know, I just wonder a lot. I live a lot in here. That's what it is. If it's not happiness, we're always asking for, you know, have a prosperous year, right? So if it's not happiness, it's prosperity. What's up with that? I mean, there's so many options for wishing in the new year. Maybe we can add some more to the menu. How about if we were to wish people have an eventful 2017? Doesn't sound right. Have a safe new year. Yes. How about abundant? Faithful. Have a strong year. I mean, there's more, right? We could be saying a lot more about a new year. How about fearless? I think that would qualify. How about persecution free? You see, there's more experiences than just happiness and prosperity that we might be missing out on just because our focus is only on being happy. Yeah, progress is good. Or maybe we can go to the hymn that we were just singing. We sang, maybe we have a year of progress, a year of praise, a year of proving God's presence. That would be nice, right? If we experienced a year where we were digging into finding about God and what God is doing in our lives. I would wish that to somebody. Merciful. Have a glad year. Will you have a trusting year where you're leaning on the Lord? I think that's a bunch, you know, too many words. I don't know. Maybe even we could revive that word. Remember that old word? Evangelism. Maybe you can wish someone have a very evangelistic year. Now I'm messing it all up, right? I'm sure. Did I really say that? Anyway, you see, I think you see what I'm getting at. You see, there's much more to wish for in life than just happiness and prosperity. What should it be for a follower of Christ? What should be the ultimate wish? As we get into the text today, I think that there are a couple of themes that keep popping up. And maybe these themes will help us to frame our mind around what this year could be like. We've been dealing with these through the weeks of Advent, and I think we carry them forward now. And I think that the texts are just reinforcing these themes. For one, we have the theme of dreams, remember? We have dreams popping up left and right all through the text that we've been hearing. And Joseph is the one that has been having all these dreams, so he's the principal character in those. It seems like Joseph is a little deaf. I don't know, maybe you can imagine him is not hearing too well, because God has to show himself in dreams for him to pay attention. It has to be something that comes in a mysterious way. And we've already seen that
He has been visited before by angels.
The first one was when an angel puts him at ease about Mary's pregnancy. Remember that?
And now he's called to be notified of a tragedy that is to come. And that leads into the escape. And the escape is via Egypt. Now, since even before that time, we've had tragedies. Remember the last plague of the ten, right? During Exodus time? What was that? They were getting rid of all the kids around. That was the tenth plague, the firstborn of every family. And even after all this time, we're still having tragedies with families and kids. I don't know if you've heard of Aleppo, right? And if you've seen some of the videos and the families and kids coming out, losing their homes. I think that we see time and time again the vulnerability of children. Now, Joseph has no option. If he's concerned about safety and his family, he has no option but to flee. He has no option but to leave. And I can't imagine people in areas where they're plagued by war, by conflict, wishing their neighbors more than happiness and prosperity, but wishing their neighbors for safety. See, somehow, when we are in conditions where we're threatened, it becomes more real. We're not necessarily looking for happiness, but for safety to be part of our life. So, you see, what Matthew does in telling the story is evidence that there's themes that are recurring and that he wants to lift up for us in his writing. So, we have the theme of dreams, but we have another one. He continuously harks back to those words, right? They were spoken by the Lord through his prophet, right? Time and time again, we hear Matthew stating for us that happening or that event or that moment was already being foretold. So, the second theme that we can look at here is the fulfillment of Scripture. And I think that that's another way for Matthew to validate what he's witnessing to us. You see, he's not just telling a story, but he's telling a story and saying to us, remember that this was already foretold to us. It was fulfilled in Scripture. So he's not only validating that event in his writing, not only for the sake of remembering, but also to validate the basis of their own faith. You see, Scripture, what has been left for us, is true. That's basically what he's saying to his audience. Fulfilled Scripture is the evidence of the continuity of God's revelation to his people. Israel, the first, and now us. We are also recipients of that witness. So by him saying that, it validates to us that it is truth what he's talking about. Now here in Matthew, emphasized fulfillment of God's promises, even as delayed as they were, should give us some pause in our own struggles. You see, I think these two themes, you know, the themes of dreams and the themes of him harking back and restating what the prophet said, they're intertwined in a very interesting way. And I think that is the evidence that there's a sub-theme here working. You see, this is a scenario where God is active in people's lives, right? I mean, when you have a dream that says, leave, right? Leave, because you're in danger. And you recognize somehow that this is the angel of God, I think that God's activity, right? That is God being God in your life. So this scenario where God is active in connecting through his envoys, his angels to Joseph, and leading them away from danger, is one of those things that we need to be reminded of. And at the same time, Matthew is reinforcing that what is happening here is confirmation of God's revelation of the plan that he has. Now, with these two things going on, there's another reality, and this is the something I'm trying to lift up to you, is that there is the activity of evil present. Right? I mean, there's evil, and there's evil doing, and there's humans involved in this evil doing. So we have God's activity, and we have God's activity through not only the words of the prophet, but them becoming true. And not only that, but God's action in people's lives, immediate action in people's lives. But we also see that there's evil in the world. And that evil is being somehow enabled, performed by human beings. And I think that that is the reality that hits home. And I don't mean to bring you down, people. It's a new year's being started. You know, we should be talking about the happy things of life, right? But the reality is that it's not all happiness in our world. There is evil. And that's being perpetrated by human beings. You see, we all have struggled with that. We all have struggled with the work of evil in the world and in our lives. But what we can also do is witness to God's work in spite of that evil. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So evil is not new, and God's activity is not new. You know what that tells me? Is that God is still relevant. Is that God has not forgotten about us? Is that God is not dead? And there's two movies that prove that, right?
Yes.
For those who know, there's two movies made, right? There's God is Not Dead 1 and God's Not Dead 2. He's totally irrelevant. And when we look at a new year, we're faced with the possibilities, right? We're faced with all the things that we would like for it to happen. But we also are faced with the drag of the impossibilities, right? I'm telling you, this morning I looked at my belly. And in 3 years it has grown 24 pounds. I don't know what's going on. And I keep thinking there has to be a way for this to be gone away. There has to be a way for that. But you know what I think about? Is how it's not going to go away. It's natural. Well, maybe you can get back to the walking you were doing several years ago. Maybe you can get back to some of these things. But then we realize that time has also traveled with us. I don't know if you realize this, but there are things that happen in our lives that we sort of would like to get over. We would like to overcome. Sometimes we're sitting back and asking God, is there going to be an angel that can come and tell me, you know, what's the formula for this? Will there be someone that comes and tells me exactly what is it that I need to do? And number two, will I be able to follow that? Sometimes we even get into that mode of even predicting the outcome beforehand, right? Oh, I'm going to get back on that bike, right? And just with the image of me getting back on the bike, it's already, I know what's going to happen next. 2-3 days, forget it, right? And sometimes we get into that drag of reacting to our own jumping to conclusions when the reality is that it can't change. Right? There is a possibility for us to change even our behavior. Imagine that. And I think that this is part of the message that we hear here in Matthew. Is that God is active in the world now. Thank you, Donna. I was hoping everybody would say amen at that point. You see, God is not only concerned about this grand plan for humanity. I think he's also concerned about you and about me. He has this grand plan, right? The master plan, salvation for all who claim him. But there's also this concern about Rubencito. Little Ruben, that's how they called me over when I was a kid. You see, God is totally relevant because we humans are still vulnerable. We are still vulnerable to evil. Whether that is perpetrated by others or by our own selves. And it means that we're still in need of a great escape. It means that we're still in that same situation as baby Jesus. Helpless. He can't do anything about it. He's just been born. He's just learning the basics. He is unable to do anything for himself. But God has put Joseph in his life. And Joseph, even though he is a little hard of hearing, he does pay attention to his dreams. It so happens that this Joseph has this knack, this special ability to not only remember, anybody remember their dreams? A few of us. I know it's hard. Sometimes, you know, they're a little murky, right? But there's this guy who has his antenna up when he's dreaming, and he says, I better get out of here. See, there might be a situation in our lives that is getting out of control, or it might be affecting us, or it might be trying to steal our peace and our joy. And perhaps there is no dream that we can remember that involves an angel coming to us and telling us what to do. There's no message directly from God saying, this is the solution for you. But that doesn't mean that we can't have faith. Hello? It doesn't mean that we are helpless. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten about us. What it means is that we need to remember who this God is. As a matter of fact, it is because this God has proven himself time and time again that we have faith. Right? It is because this God has perform the things that he has done throughout the ages, and still today we hear these stories and these witnesses that we have faith. But it doesn't end there. Just as Matthew is telling us about prophets talking about things that ended up happening, but now he's telling us of things that are happening in the moment of God's activity, we can expect. Hello? There's that word. Expect God's activity in our lives. That's faith. That is the walk of the day. When we expect that God is going to be active in our lives, maybe not through dreams because we may not pay attention to them, but maybe in other ways. The prophet Stubb spoke about saving his son. The master plan is being accomplished. And God is also saving you and I every day. So you see, as we look at this new year, maybe we can consider the prophet's words as witnesses of old, right? Those witnesses that hark way back from where. But maybe we can even consider our own stories. I don't know about you guys, but do you know why you're in church? I mean, I imagine that there has to be some kind of personal experience. Amen? There has to be some kind of awareness that has creeped into our lives about what this God that is being preached all over the world in different churches has done for us. Right? So that means that there's an experience. So it's not only the prophet speaking way out there. It's God being active in us. Amen. Amen. And now, if that is the case, you see, perhaps this word that has been somewhat forgotten, evangelism, is a word that needs to be revived. It should not be just an old term of how things used to be. And you know what it used to be, right? I don't know, maybe you guys were in church in the 80s, right? In the late 70s. Evangelism used to mean church growth. Anybody? Right? Evangelism was for the purpose of increasing the church. And maybe that's when we went wrong. Maybe that's exactly when we went wrong. Because we had the wrong purpose in mind. You see, evangelism is not for church growth. Evangelism, perhaps, is more about telling others of God's activity in your life. Maybe evangelism is simply witnessing. Witnessing of what God has done. Hello? Maybe about God's great act of mercy and love, which are rooted in our own experience. So maybe evangelism is not for the purpose of church growth, but rather for making God known. That's exactly what Matthew was doing for us. He was saying to us, hey guys, this happened, and you know what? It's still on. It's still on today. Now, God in Christ is our great escape, right? Jesus escaped to Egypt. He was saved so that he could save us. So now, he is our great escape. And all these witnesses call us to consider the possible of God and not the impossible of us. Maybe we can think of what God's possibilities are and not our impossibilities. And I tell you that we can share for the new year with everybody that we can come in contact with. So what could be our new year's wish? Have an eventful new year. Have a worshipful new year. Have a year full of experiences with God. May you be filled to the brim. Oh, that sounds like an advertisement. Maybe we can share that with others once we're filled. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for coming to our lives. We thank you for manifesting yourself in so many ways throughout history. We thank you for Matthew, who lays this out for us to remember. But we also thank you for you being in our lives, present, real, relevant, in all of our experiences. Whether we have joy or we are sad, you are there. And we pray, God, that these experiences as we walk with you may become a way for us to not only recognize you, but advertise you to the world. So we pray, God, for your Holy Spirit to inhabit and dwell, manifest itself through us. In whichever way you see fit, here we are. In Jesus' name, amen.